I am so glad to be here today in your presence, and we're an hour behind, and so everybody had a chance to get some good sleep, and I had a chance to get some rest. And so for those of you who were not here on last week, my screen is over here, so I guess that's is that working today? Maybe it's not. I don't know. Oh, there it is right there. Right. We're preaching on, not preaching on Satan, but the topic was Satan. That's okay. That's fine for me. I can work with that. And even for those of you who may have a problem with the concept or this entity or your belief that he exists, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't have a reason for the discord and for the division and for the destruction that may be happening in your life, it may be happening in a church even. It may be happening on your job. This might be a good place to look. This might be a good individual to kind of find out, am I dealing with some spiritual warfare? Sometimes things are not just physical or even psychological, emotional. Sometimes there is spiritual warfare that is happening that you and I really don't know why or what happened. It just came. We don't have control over that. What we do have control over is how we respond. The Bible says, resist the devil. You have to ask yourself, what does that mean to resist the devil? And he'll flee from you. Well, what I have discovered is that you resist Satan. Well, if in your own power, you can just say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or no, I'm not going to get involved in that. But if you're like me, I'm a diabetic. And every now and then, Satan tempts me with a piece of pound cake. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? You can identify with that. And I can say in my flesh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But if I just utilize my flesh, then what will happen is I'll give in at some point. Can I get a witness here? I'll give in. But when I find God's word to stand on, Leroy Gainey, this is the temple, God Almighty, of the living God. You cannot just put anything into it. And even if everybody else in the world is eating that, you can't do it because you're a diabetic. Stand on the word of God. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Get behind me. There is something about, and I think some of you seasoned Christians would agree with me, that there is something about standing on God's word that gives us more power. I'm not saying that's the only power that God supplies for us, because God can show up whenever he wants to. Even if I don't know scripture, he can show up. But having scripture in my life helps me to say what God wants is what I want. And what God doesn't want is what I don't want. So for those of you who weren't here, what we preached on, the topic is Satan is mad at me. Satan is mad. He's furious at me. And we were looking at Revelations 12, 1 through 17. As you remember, I think I mentioned to you that this is the period of which we call the tribulation part, the great tribulation. And actually, what God does, what Jesus does, who is God, with John, is that he actually shows him, tells him about why there is so much evil in the world. As a matter of fact, the evil was here even before God created the earth that we know. In other words, there was an earth realm. As it says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In creatio ex nihilo Elohim bara. God makes the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And in the heavenly realm, we don't have a lot of the detail on how he made the angels or the spiritual beings that were there. But we do have a lot of detail about the earthly realm. As a matter of fact, we've got 7 days of detail on how he made it. And we have a clear understanding now, or at least we should, on how did Satan get in the garden? How did Satan get there at the beginning? Why was he here when there was no earth? Well, I know if I was to ask you, you'd tell me right off, God kicked him out. He was in heaven first. He was an angel. And he was very close to God. As a matter of fact, he was what you call a guardian angel, an archangel. He was an angel that was called the angel of light, the morning star, the one who had the wisdom that God, obviously, the Father shared with him. But what he did was he corrupted it. He not only corrupted it for him, but he corrupted it for 1/3 of the angels that were in heaven. Now, how many angels were there in heaven when God created the heavens? I don't know. But I would assume that's a lot of demons that got sent down here to the earth realm with him. So where we are today, let me just give you our background verse real quick here. Why don't you say it with me? 12a. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is what? Filled with fury. He's mad. Why is he so mad at me? I can understand why he's mad with God, because God put him out. He's no longer close to God. But why is he mad at me? Our first truth here we find is that Satan lost his place with God and believers gained the place. Remember, Satan was a what? An archangel. He was one of the guardian angels. He was right along there with Michael. You know, you think about Gabriel, one of your top angels, but he was jealous of God. You would think, well, that's crazy. Why would he be jealous of God? Well, you know, it's sort of like having 2 kids and you gave more to one than the other. You might create some jealousy. Well, he was jealous of God. He wanted to be God. And God said, hey, look, there's no place for you and I here. We're going to put you in the other realm. And that's where you will be. And you'll be the prince of that place. And I'm going to create me. Have you ever thought about this? Because at this point, people, Esther, were not created yet. But God said, because God knows everything. Dr. Fly, have you ever thought about this? That one day I'm going to create me a people. And those people are going to be all different colors. And they're going to come from all different places. But they're going to all be my people. As a matter of fact, Not the roaches, not the dogs, not the elephants, not the lions, not the tigers, but the people are going to be made in my image. The people. I'm saying to you that God knew this from the very beginning, even before he even made a people, that we were going to be the ones, not the angels. You know, the scripture says in some places, humans or peoples are, people are equal with angels. In some places, I'll let you do your homework, we're lower than angels. And there even is a verse that says that we're higher than the angels. You choose whatever one you want. But I like the verse that says that the angels are to serve us. That God will unleash his angels. You know, he's got fighting angels. He'll unleash his angels. You ever been in trouble before? Have you ever had some difficulty before? And God unleashed his angels, seemed like they came from nowhere and helped you to get out of your situation. Can I get a witness here? That's what I'm talking about. That God has angels that'll serve me. And I'm nobody. So that brings us to our second truth. There are four truths. First truth is Satan lost his place with God. Believers gained a place. He's mad because you're in his place. Number two, Satan lost his kingdom. Remember, his kingdom was now what? The earth realm. He doesn't need material or dirt like we need to be on. So he's already here. But he lost his kingdom and believers gained a colony. All right. Let's see what that says there, Doc G. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accusers of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night have been hurled down. I don't know if you noticed this, but he says here that now the kingdom of God, in other words, the way that God rules, where God has authority, where God is the one who says this is the way things are supposed to go, has now come. Are you with me? Verse number 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Hey, when God made the earth, I'm talking about the ball that we're sitting on. I'm not talking about the earth realm with the planets and so forth in it, but the ball that we're on. And he made us. He never meant for us to choose a king. He never meant for us to choose a ruler. Why is that? Because it was a theocracy, not an autocracy, not a communal decision-making policy, but it was God's policy that would run the people on earth. And we moved away from it. As a matter of fact, we declared that we want a king. We want a human king. We want somebody that we can see and we can talk with. And God gave us that in Saul, but the fact of the matter is, God didn't want us to be another kingdom. Why is that? Because the kingdom of heaven had now come to earth. Y'all don't hear me. We were supposed to be a colony. Does anybody here know how a colony works? A colony always refers back to where the real rulership is. A colony always bows down to the king of that particular group of people. A colony always declares that we have no other king but our king. And for us, that king is God. It is not our human presidents. I know you're going to vote in a couple of days here, but let me tell you what. None of them will be a king, so none of them will be able to do all of the things that you may need. But I stand before you without any doubt. I say that my God will supply all of your needs in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness here? Is there anybody here who knows that other than me, that my God will rule with authority and with equality across the board? We don't have to worry about somebody getting more than you or somebody getting less than you. Why? Because God already has it planned out exactly what we're supposed to have. So, when Jesus comes, he reinforces the whole colonial concept. He says what? Upon this rock, I will build my church, and even the gates of hell, even Satan himself, even all of the demons that are on the earth cannot prevail against it. That if you remain true to me, and it may not be all of the people. As a matter of fact, it's not all of the people, but those who believe that Jesus Christ is God and that God is Jesus and that alone he is our king, those needs that bow to him, God says, I will supply all of their needs if you're in Christ Jesus. Is that something? Hear me, young people. And I'm not, you know, for some of you, this may be your first time voting. And I don't want to scare you away from that because that's your business. But I want you to understand something. You can't make people love God because they become a United States citizen. You can't make people love God because they vote Republican or they vote Democrat. You can't make people love Jesus. The only way through the Father is to come through the Son. You have to love Jesus for yourself. And what that basically means is that at least one time in my life, I am going to bow. I am going to submit. He is my king. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the Basileus Uranius, the kingdom of heaven. When my spirit, you see, I am born spiritual. Every one of you are born spiritual. Can I get a witness? How many of you are born with a head, with a brain? Okay, just one of you, two, okay. How many are born with a body? Raise your hand. Well, you may not know it, but you're also born with the spirit. And that spirit's no good. That spirit will run after anything that will satisfy this flesh. Can I get a witness? It'll run after anything that'll bring it pleasure. The only thing you can do with the spirit that you have is to replace it. Hey, as a matter of fact, there's a recall. Everybody say recall. thank you. There's a recall on my spirit. God wants to replace my spirit, my flesh spirit, with the Holy Spirit, who will only tell me what God wants me to know. And will only tell me what God wants me to do. He'll only tell me the habits that God wants me to form. I'm a colonizer. That's right. I'm placed here on this earth to try to help people to know who the real king is. I'm here to help people to know who the real God is to bow to. That's my job. That's my task, to help people to know that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, that wants your allegiance to him. Satan is mad about that. When you tell people that Jesus is Lord, when you tell people that Jesus is God, when you tell people that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is God. And don't confuse this with Satanism. You know, there is a religion called Satanism, and it's not based on the Bible because they don't believe in the Bible. But that they think they're Satan. They think they're God. If you ever do a study on Satanism, that's what you'll find. And all it is self-pleasure. All it is about self-fulfillment. All it is about self-doing and self-being, when God says, I want to be inside of you. I want to rule how you use your body. I want to rule how you use your thoughts. I want to rule how you relate with other people. I want to rule how you use my resources. It's not about you going and doing something and then saying, God, come and help me out over here. I got stuck in this mess. No, that's not how God works. God works like this. God says, you come and join me where I am. You come and join me where I am working. You come and join me, and I'll show you what to do. I'll show you how to be. I'll show you how to be. You know what, Living Hope? You think about it a moment. You're at the crossroads of being God's church. I know you say you're God's church, but I'm saying you're at the crossroads of really being God's church. And it begins with prayer, where God's people come together, not so that we can talk about each other, not so that we can talk about people in the street, but so we can hear an answer from God. What would you have of me to do? How do you want to use what you have put inside of me? You've known me from the very beginning. You've made me. Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm willing to share with people at my school. I know it's scary. Yeah, it is. That's scary. But I'm willing to share with people on my job about the God who made everything. And the God who loves everybody. Uh-oh. I'm going to need for you to go to the next one, because I'm not getting any power from my thing here. In Luke 19, here's what Jesus says. I have given you authority. How many of you believe that? You have the authority to trample over all them demons, the snakes, the scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You do not have to go in. You do not have to give in. You do not have to give up. Why? Because you have been given authority. You've already been given it. You don't even have to ask for it. You already have it. You know what? Just think about it. If you're going through a tough time in your marriage right now, can I get a witness? It might be, I'm not saying anything about anybody here, because I don't know what your situation is. But if you are, because, you know, many times in marriage, there's nobody who's ever been married that have not gone through a tough time. But that is a good time to say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you've got to get out of my home. You've got to get away from my children. You got to get away from my spouse, because this house is built on the rock of Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if you don't stand on the power that God has given you, oh, you may get by, but eventually it'll wear you down because you're trying to do it on your own. And I'm saying that God says, try me. Try me. So the second truth, Satan lost the kingdom. In other words, his kingdom was this earth realm. And then here God sends us. Little old us telling people, don't follow him. Don't do what he said to do. You follow Jesus. Let me tell you what, Satan is mad as I don't know what about that. Because you stand in the middle of his destruction and his division. And you tell young people, don't put drugs inside your body. Don't put alcohol inside your body. Don't get involved intimately before it's due season when you're mature and when every man has his own wife and every woman has her own husband. Don't get involved in that until God says so. And when God says so, then it'll be right. And then you can enjoy one another. Hopefully, like Cheryl and I, until you look like prunes. Cheryl probably wouldn't like that last part, but that's what happens to you when you get old. You look like me. But guess what? It can be your best years. Can I get a witness? And it can be your best years because God Almighty was in the middle of it. When he's in the middle of things, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. You know what would be a tragedy? A tragedy would be to walk out of here today knowing that there is an area of your life that you have the authority to tell Satan to get behind me. And you continue down the same path of trying to work it out yourself in your own power. Can I get a witness? I'm determined to finish this sermon today. The third truth, Satan lost his longevity. Believers gained eternal life. He's mad at that. You know, I want you to understand something. Everybody and everything that God made dies. Everything. I don't care what it is. It dies. The oxygen that you're breathing right now will oxidate you. And it will turn you into dust one day. But God has given us something that is so precious. And that if you don't protect it, it will go like the rest. It won't die. You can't see it not dying, but it will go away from God. And that is called your soul. That soul is going to go somewhere. Are you with me? And there's only two places, according to the Bible, that soul can go. It can either go to be with God or it can go away from God. Now, God visited the earth. We know that from Adam and Eve because he'd meet them in the cool of the day. Y'all don't hear me. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Isn't that something? They'd be walking along and they hear God come and puts his arm around both of them, call and say, this is my boy right here and this is my gal right here and I love them. So we know God visited the earth, but what God doesn't do is he doesn't visit hell. Do y'all hear me? Hell is reserved as a place for people that don't want God, that don't want nothing to do with God while they're here. And they may want something to do with God after they're away, but there's nothing you can do about it. And I want you to know something. There's a place worse than hell, because the same book teaches us that there's a place that's called the sulfur and fire. And I don't know about all of that is, but I do know this, that Satan's going to be there. The demons are going to be there. Hell is going to be in there. And it's a place of no hope. A place where I can't get redeemed. If I'm going to be redeemed, it's going to be here right now. Am I wrong or right about it? Satan lost his longevity. I'm talking about ever getting any hope of being back right with God. No hope. But believers gained eternal life. 12th verse. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you and he is filled with fury because he knows that his what? His time is short. In other words, he got an expiration date. My little granddaughter, Ken, comes to see me every so often. She's 15. But there's one thing that bothers me about her, Maria. She thinks she knows everything. Yeah, she thinks she knows everything. She's 15 now, and she thinks she knows everything. And the thing that worries me the most is when she comes over and she goes and Cheryl and I, I'm talking about the refrigerator we fill up with food that we work for, that we go to Walmart and get the best prices for. She goes in there and Chris, she looks at all of the food that has a date that says expired. And the nerve of this little brat, she'll start taking stuff out and putting it up on the shelf outside, and she'll say, "Pop, pop, Nana, this has got to go in the garbage." Why? She calls it expired. And I said, "Well, is it expired over a month?" She said, "Is it expired over 2 months, some of it?" I said, "Well, it doesn't matter. It's not yours. You didn't buy it. You don't have any right to take our stuff out of the refrigerator." Now, the person I'm really mad at is me. Can I get a witness? Because I know I shouldn't be eating expired food. And I certainly don't want Cheryl to get sick eating expired food. But who hasn't done that? Well, you just a couple of days over. Is there anybody else in here besides me? I mean, every now and then, I don't go through anybody else's refrigerator and look in there. I would never come to your house and start going through your refrigerator and start pulling stuff out and saying, "How dare you?" I have to say to myself that my little granddaughter maybe sounds a little bit like the voice of God. And that is that when things say they're expired, they may have a little bit of time left to them, but that's a pretty good sign that you probably shouldn't, because organisms and things that you can't see, you know, you don't want to wait until the meat turns green. Can I get a witness? You want to catch it before then. You want to catch it when you can't see it, which means you ought to adhere to the expiration date. Well, Satan, every time he looks in the mirror, he's got an expiration date that says no matter what you say, no matter what you do, there is no redemption for you. But guess what? Every human being, even if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you may be listening at this telecast this morning. If you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, "You know what? I've been a bad person all my life. I've done all kinds of evil things. I am the worst person I know. But this day, right now, this second, I give my life to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and God will give you redemption." Satan don't have that. But that is the hope that I have. That is the hope that everybody who lives in Walnut Creek and Lafayette has. That is the hope that even the worst person in the world has. Why wouldn't you tell somebody that you've got hope that is enough to make the devil mad? You've got hope that no devil on earth can ever say, "I can take that away from you." Can I get a witness? And go back to Luke 10:20. Jesus says, even though you have the power to resist Satan, to resist all of the evil, he says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice, what? That your name, how many of you, your name is written in heaven? How many of you are sure? How many of you are sure that you're sure that you're sure that you know that your name is written in heaven? He says, that's something to rejoice about. Every time you resist the devil, that's nothing to get happy about. You ought to be doing that. But to rejoice that you don't need but one time to bow down to Jesus Christ and you have an surety of heaven in your life. That my name might be the worst person. Might be the worst person I know. But my name. You know that but. Every time I see it in the Bible, I get happy about it because, you know, it says all of this and then it says but. This is God's but. That if your name. If your name. I may not be rich down here, but. I may not have a big house like you have, but. I may not make a lot of money like you make, but. I may not drive a fine car like you do, but I got my name written in heaven. And so I know where I'm going when it's all over. I'm going home. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Won't it be grand? If that doesn't excite you, God says, the other stuff really doesn't mean that much. In other words, you should be resisting. You got the power. You should be resisting Satan and the devil. You should be resisting the evil. And at this point, especially some of you old folk, you ought to know better by now. Can I get a witness? You ought to know what to do by now. You ought to know that that doesn't need. It doesn't need the happiness. And being satisfied by now. Can I get a witness? My hope is built, oh God, nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh boy, we got a young scholar right up here, y'all. Thank you, Maria. Number four. We're going to get through with this, aren't we? Just think, you get a whole new series next week. Satan lost the fight. Believers gain the victory. Satan lost the fight. And his fight is to divide, conquer, and destroy. But believers gain the victory. They're talking about here. You're talking about heaven? We just got through talking about heaven. It can't mean that. What is this victory? When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Talking about Jesus, the woman is Israel. Remember, this is apocalyptic literature. It's hidden literature. So Israel, God is telling John, because John wasn't there, that Israel birthed Jesus. In other words, God's in the flesh came through this particular people. Are you with me? The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half, out of the serpent's reach. 3.5 years of that tribulation. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and to sweep her away with torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon, pay close attention here. Then the dragon was enraged. He was mad at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Who are these offspring? It's you and you and you and you and me and those who keep God's commands. Do you keep God's command? We hold on to his hand. It's you and I that he is mad at. And who hold fast to the testimony about Jesus. The victory is not that I'm going to heaven. That's a given. And I didn't give it to myself. Jesus gave it to me. The victory is that no matter what Satan throws at me, I just keep on fighting. No matter what Satan gives to me, I just keep on fighting. Can I get a witness here? No matter what Satan throws at me, I made up my mind, decided to make Jesus my choice. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter how difficult it gets. It doesn't matter what's thrown at me. I have to say, you want to fight? Then the fight starts now. Let's go. There's victory, not when we sit on our seats and wish only for Jesus to come back. He's coming back. There is victory when I make the decision, I'm getting up and I'm doing something for the Lord. I'm going to go into the highways and the byways, and I'm going to tell everybody who I can tell that I serve. I'm a colonizer. I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. And I know that he is risen regardless of what people say. Why? Because he lives in me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He brought me, and with his redeeming love, he loved me. I knew him, and all my life been through him. He plunged me to victory with his redeeming love. Let me close by telling you this little story. A little boy used to hate to leave his house because he had a bunch of dogs that lived in his neighborhood that they didn't leash. And they would run around and they would run after him. He was just a little fella, not like you and Z, big, strong young man. He was a little fella and he was scared. And so he goes to this senior citizen on the block, and he says, is there anything I can do? Because the dogs keep running me home. The dogs keep coming after me just to Georgia. Is there anything I can do? And the old man looked at him and said, oh, yeah, there's something you can do. He says, I want you to know something. You see this here right here? And he said, this is my stick. Those dogs know my stick. You see, I've been down the same streets you have. I've gone down the same blocks you have. I've been in the same communities you have. And every time they've come at me, I bop them on the head with my stick. Now, I want you to do something. You go right back out there where those dogs are, and I want you to take my stick with you. And when they come at you, don't you run this time. You just raise my stick at them, and you tell them, I'm going to hit you with this if you come at me. You see, that's what Jesus did. He gave us a stick, and that stick is called the Word of God. That is your weapon. use it to the glory of God. And watch the dogs run. Watch the dogs confess. Nothing worse or nothing better than seeing an old dog running after you now saying, I'm running after you because I want to know Jesus. I've experienced that before. Say it with me now. Four truths here. Satan is mad at me. Why? Satan lost his place with God. Believers gained the place. Number two, Satan lost his kingdom. Believers gained a colony. Satan lost longevity. Believers gained eternal life. Satan lost the fight. Believers gained victory. Stand to your feet. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. I'm going to ask our counselors to come.